Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you that views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and, well, our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY for this hour. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have this on the line, John Stormer. And John, well, I first became aware of him back in 1964 when I read a book called None Dare Call It Treason. And about 7 million copies of that book went out that year, and it was instrumental in bringing about the conservative movement and the nomination of Barry Goldwater for the Republican slot to be running against Lyndon Johnson in the presidential election. And John has been involved with the conservative movement ever since 1964. He became a Christian minister several years after that, coming to understand that this really is a spiritual battle we're involved in. He's written a number of books, which we carry, certainly, None Dare Call It Treason, None Dare Call It Treason, 25 years later. His book, None Dare Call It Education, his most recent book, Betrayed by the Bench, we recommend to you. It is the best single book for an understanding of really what's going on, because you see there is an organized effort to destroy our allegiance to God in this country, and yet our whole concept of individual freedom is freedom unto God. That's where our freedom comes from. John Stormer, thank you so much for being with us.
It's always a privilege.
Well, tell us a little bit about your most recent book and why is this so important? Because I think that most people don't understand how vital it is to understand what the Supreme Court has done.
Well, I think that it comes down, and I'm sure among our listeners, for the last 40 years, people have been protesting and upset over decisions by the Supreme Court to ban prayer and Bible reading in the schools of America, banned the posting of the Ten Commandments, and then Roe v. Wade came along, and I sometimes say those decisions, as serious as they were, just the tip of an iceberg, and a lot of good people have spent a lot of effort and put forth a lot of effort trying to reverse those things or get Supreme Court amendments to the Constitution to reverse those things, but with all of the effort that's been put forth, we're in worse shape today than we were before all this effort started. And the reason, I believe, is that we have lost sight of the foundations. You can't properly interpret and apply the Constitution of the United States. You can't understand the Constitution of the United States unless you start with the Declaration of Independence. And it's the Declaration of Independence that sets America apart from every other nation in history. The second paragraph of the Declaration that says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Now that's what sets America apart, that our rights come not from a king, not from a constitution, not even from a Bill of Rights, but from God.
And I think that's why it's what is happening in the Supreme Court is so important, because there is an organized effort to take acknowledgement out of God, or acknowledgement out of God, out of the reality of our children. And because of Supreme Court edicts, why, of course, they've taken God and prayer and Christmas and the Ten Commandments and any acknowledgement of a supreme being away from our children, because they want to control the reality of the next generation. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is John Stormer, who's written a number of books, which we carry, None Dare Call It Treason, None Dare Call It Treason 25 Years Later, None Dare Call It Education, and his latest book, Betrayed by the Bench, which I think really is one of the most important books which come out in a long period of time, because it goes into the background of the foundations of our freedom and the importance not only of the Constitution but of the Declaration of Independence, which was really sort of the Articles of incorporation of our country. And John makes this point very well. Certainly the people who founded this country realized the importance of the Declaration of Independence and the acknowledgement of God that is very, very clearly laid out there. And then, of course, well, you pick up the story there from John.
Well, after setting forth in the Declaration of Independence that our rights come from God, then the next little phrase says, to make those rights secure. To make those God-given rights secure, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And that government that was established was basically our Constitution. So the Constitution was written to make God-given rights secure. Now, that's the concept that all these people that are upset about a whole lot of things that we should be upset about need to be raising the question, rather than just protesting abortion or protesting no prayer in school or the ban on the Ten Commandments and those other things that we need to be raising questions about, but we need to get back to the foundations. The question that really needs to be raised all across this land is, how can the Supreme Court find in a constitution written to make God-given rights secure, how can they find there in that document a right to abort babies, or how can they find that as the basis for banning prayer and Bible reading, or how can they find a constitutional right there to practice sodomy, for example? And it's just not there. And this is a very fundamental concept that we've lost sight of. And I find that when I raise that question, anytime I get a chance to speak in a church, I usually ask, well, can you bring together and have a combined adult teen Sunday school class, and we'll look at the biblical basis of our Declaration of Independence, our Constitution, our Bill of Rights. And I've presented that concept in churches.
Hold that thought right there, John. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is John Stormer, and he's simply talking about the biblical basis of our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution, because you can't separate them. Certainly our founding fathers didn't. They knew that the very foundation of this country was in the Declaration of Independence, and those people who hate America and who hate God don't want to include the Declaration of Independence. In fact, recently the Supreme Court held that the posting of the Declaration of Independence, along with the Ten Commandments and a couple of articles out of the Congressional Record, was unconstitutional. Why? Because it mentioned God. Ladies and gentlemen, you take God out of our country, we're no different than any other country, and those who will not be ruled by God will be very, very soon ruled by tyrants. And that is exactly what there are certain people on our Supreme Court who really want. They know exactly what they're doing. There is, I believe, a conspiracy against God in America today. Go ahead, John.
Well, the basic fundamental concept that our rights come from God has been written out of our country. I haven't been able to find a public school history or government textbook. In fact, I can't find a Christian school history or government textbook published the last 75 years that tells succeeding generations of young people the thing that sets us apart, that our rights come not from a king, not from government, but from God. And if we start at that place, then all the other things fall into place in the right way. And that's the reason why there has been actually starting back in the 19th century, efforts made to, and they started very slowly, it was an evolving thing, to transform America's law, the United States law, from the old common law foundation. The common law basically was biblically based, and the goal of the common law, the purpose of the common law, was to protect the individual, his liberty, and his property. And that was the basis of our whole legal system. And starting in maybe the 1870s at Harvard, a group of men, they were disciples of Hegel, the German philosopher, and of Charles Darwin, both of whom said everything's in a state of constant change. They said law has to change too. And their goal was to replace the common law with what they called sociological jurisprudence.
But of course, this would have to be done by edict. It would have to be really done deceitfully, because the only way to change our Constitution was to amend it. They didn't want that. They wanted simply by deceit and treachery to put people into positions of power to change it, and little by little, so the American people wouldn't realize what was happening. Would that be a fair statement?
That's right. And they said, Roscoe Pound was one of the men. Roscoe Pound was the dean of the Harvard Law School back in the 1910, 1920s, 1930s. And in a book that he wrote, The Spirit of the Common Law, he said to make these changes, we're going to have to use deceit. As long, he said, this is very significant, he said, as long as people have an understanding that the law is a established fact, and as long as people knew the law, if you come along and try to change it through a judicial decision or whatever, they're going to say, no, wait a minute, what's the precedent for this? But he said, we're going to have to deceive them, and we're going to have to make changes while making it look like the same thing, but just change the language and so forth. And we've come today, of course, to the place where hardly anybody knows the law and raises questions as to precedents or whatever.
And, of course, it's sort of like Arnold Toynbee, who back in about 1930 said, you know, we're going to profess one thing with our mouths while we're doing another thing with our hands. We will deny we're moving towards this new world order, and yet we will continue working for it. Because they could not let the American people realize there was an agenda. And, of course, there is an agenda to undermine the faith of our people, to change the structure of our society, and to remove this realization that freedom comes from God.
That's right. And as they moved stealthily to remove the common law, and in their writings, they voiced their opposition to it, because the common law had a foundation in God and the Bible, and those things don't change. So they moved to replace the common law with a movement that they called sociological jurisprudence, that the basis of the law would not be the Bible, not be the Word of God, not be the natural law, the laws of nature, but rather that the basis of the law would be the teachings of what social scientists said society needed. And the goal would move from protecting the individual, his liberty, and his property to a new standard that the purpose of the law was meeting society's needs as envisioned by these social scientists. And as a result, we've moved from common law to what's called code law. The American Law Institute, financed by the Rockefellers back in the 1920s, have gradually brought us to the place where we have a uniform commercial code. We have codes that regulate divorce and marriage and child rearing and all that kind of stuff. There's a uniform criminal code that have all been adopted since basically 1955, something like that. And they threw out the basis on which America grew great and the law on which America grew great, and replace it with this evolving jumble of things
And, of course, really what they really want to do is centralize as much power in Washington, D.C. as they can, and not that they can't go to Washington, D.C. at the state level, because they really don't believe in representative government. They believe in autocratic bureaucracy that will regulate every aspect of human endeavor, and they're getting away with it because the American people do not realize what's going on.
That's right, and we have a full chapter in the book, Betrayed by the Bench, that shows how the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, written, adopted, 1869, right after the war between the states, it was written simply to ensure that the freed slaves enjoyed all the rights that all Americans had. And that's the way it stood until about 1950. And then under the Warren Court, they moved to say that they found all sorts of rights to privacy. They found all sorts of rights, and through their interpretation of the 14th Amendment, starting in the 1950s, they moved the control of education from the states to Washington and the federal judges. They moved criminal justice, the administration of it, the control of it, from the states to Washington and to the federal judges, the control of elections, apportionment, all sorts of areas have been moved from the states to Washington, D.C. And as a result, I had a fellow that one of the first guys that really wakened me up to these things. He was a minority leader of the Republican of the Missouri legislature back in the 1960s, and he told me one day, he said, we get down here and we pass our appropriations and set up our budgets, he said, as a result of what's happened since 1950, he said, there's only about 70 or 75% of our total budget over which we have any control. Everything we do has to be passed to meet certain federal guidelines. And that's true in education today. It's true in welfare administration. It's true in just every area of our government, how we use our highways, what speed limits we'll have on our highways, whether we can have emissions, what kind of gasoline we can use, what additives. It all comes out of Washington.
And, of course, you know, we saw how great those things were here in California. They insisted we put MTBE, you know, to purify the air, and we ended up polluting the air and the water and putting a carcinogen in. Then it cost us, it took us 10 years to get rid of the MTBE that had been dictated in Washington, D.C. Well, really, it was, of course, good old Bob Dole, who got a large amount of money from Arthur Daniels Midland, and they gave it to, of course, his personal foundation, and he got the legislation passed. We had to add either ethanol or MTBE to our gasoline, and, of course, think of the terrible problems it's created. Ethanol does not clean the air. It's great for Arthur Daniels Midland. They made billions of dollars. But the real problem we have is, of course, this is all unconstitutional. Where does the federal government get off telling us what we do with air pollution controls in California? But it's all part of a long-range program. All power shall be centralized in Washington, D.C., and as Thomas Jefferson said so well, at that point we will have a government as venal as that which we were recently separated from. And if you read Thomas Jefferson, and John actually has that quotation in his wonderful book, Betrayed by the Bench, you know, Thomas Jefferson saw in the federal judiciary the seeds of the destruction of our society. The average individual doesn't understand what they've done. We're going to be back in just a minute with John Stormer. His book, Betrayed by the Bench. You need to get it. You need to read it. You need to study it. Got some wonderful quotations, wonderful material. But you'll understand that the Supreme Court and the betrayal of the Constitution and their oath to uphold it certainly is the essence of what's going on today.
No. Now, most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is John Stormer. We're talking about his book, Betrayed by the Bench. And if you don't understand what the Supreme Court has done, you can't understand what's happening to America. Pick up the story there, John.
Well, we've talked about the Supreme Court, and I'm sure everybody's long concerned about it. But the book deals with a number of aspects that fall out, that get down to where a lot of people live. For example, there's a chapter on the American Civil Liberties Union. And their founding, of course, the founding board was made up of Elizabeth Gurney Flynn and a number of people who ended up heading the Communist Party in America. And they have been basically in the forefront of the defense of communists all through the now 85 years since they were founded back in 1920. But the real danger and this thing of eliminating God from our society, the ACLU, there was a bill passed by Congress in 1976 that was concerned with saying that if people's, if poor people's rights were being violated, the thought was that lawyers wouldn't take their cases because they didn't have any money. So that bill passed by Congress in 76 said that if someone's civil rights were violated and an attorney took the case and went into federal court, that the federal judge could then could rule that the legal fees had to be paid by the city or the school board or whoever it was that had violated the rights of this poor person. And so there was some good intent there, but the ACLU has picked up on it and made it a civil right to avoid being offended. And they take all sorts of cases for people, and they go into federal court and claim that having to see the Ten Commandments posted somewhere is an offense and a violation of their civil rights.
And of course, then the city, or maybe they have posted the Ten Commandments, then they've got to pay these massive legal fees, and that frightens everybody into compliance with this anti-Christian effort of the Anti-Christian Lawyers Union, the ACLU.
And so, that's exactly right. And the ACLU collects millions of dollars every year, a good part of their budget that they're using to have all these attacks on nativity scenes and singing a Christmas carol in a school. And as you say, as these massive judgments have been laid down, the city of Los Angeles, I think, had to pay $900,000 to the ACLU because they had permitted a Boy Scout troop to use a part of the city park. And the Boy Scouts, you know, affirm a belief in God, so the ACLU picked the case up and went into federal court, and the judge awarded them $900,000 in legal fees.
And of course, this is one of the law of unintended consequences. Whenever the government passes a law, you don't know how that is going to be twisted and distorted to be working against the cause of freedom. What's wrong? The Boy Scouts want to affirm God. Well, somebody's offended because they affirm God, and so we can't have them on public property. You know, but you tried to say, well, I'm offended by what they're pushing on homosexuality and indecency. Oh, well, after all, don't you believe in freedom of speech?
That's right. And these cases are just, when the ACLU and the Southern Poverty Law Center picked up the case against Roy Moore and the placing of that Ten Commandment monument in the Supreme Court building in Montgomery, Alabama, the ACLU and the Southern Poverty Law Center, they collected $500,000 in legal fees from the state of Alabama. And, of course, it really comes from the money that our tax money. And as the ongoing consequence of this, all the ACLU has to do is just raise a question, and school boards and city councils, Minnesota, all across the country, they just fold immediately rather than risk going to court and having to pay these big legal fees to the ACLU.
And yet, of course, what the First Amendment says is Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. How do they twist that around to say we can't have prayer in schools? Well, it doesn't matter what it says. There is a prejudice there, there is a plan, and it is part, in my estimation, of a conspiracy against God. Until we recognize that, nothing going on today makes sense. We'll be right back here with John Stormer.
have a brand new video today on the Oklahoma City bombing. It's called Oklahoma, What Really Happened. And of course, it consists of a lot of never-before-seen video footage. Now, it was seen in Oklahoma City immediately following the bombing of the Murrah Building, but blacked out across America. And in this footage, you're going to see the commentators talking about the other bombs that were in the building at the time of the initial bombing. We're told, of course, that Timothy McVeigh acted independently. We're told many things by the media, but wherein does the truth lie? Oklahoma City, What Really Happened, it will give you the opportunity to see long-suppressed video footage of what really transpired. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for Oklahoma City, What Really Happened.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is John Stormer. And, of course, we're talking about his book, Betrayed by the Bench, which I think is so vitally important for people to read and understand. And you've got some wonderful quotations in there from the people who are, around, or at least the son of the people who actually created this country. You've got this wonderful quotation from certainly John Quincy Adams, talking about how basically the virtue that you find, in our Constitution really all had its origin in the Declaration of Independence. And what was the secret of the Declaration? It talked about God. That's what it was all about. And so the people who hate America and who hate freedom will do everything they can to divorce the Declaration from the Constitution. And yet our founding fathers certainly didn't, did they?
No, they certainly didn't. And there's a chapter in the book, a very important chapter, that spells out the biblical basis for the Declaration of Independence, the various concepts there, the principles there, and then the biblical basis for example, each of the Bill of Rights, for freedom of speech and freedom of religion and freedom of the press and the right to keep and bear arms and the Third and Fourth Amendments, the sanctity of our home, the Fifth Amendment, the right to jury trial, and even the Ninth and Tenth Amendments, which are totally almost ignored today, that all the rights not specifically given to the federal government by the states who formed the federal government reside with the people and with the states. And all those concepts have specific biblical basis. And I think that I had a call from a man down in San Diego the other day. I had been there for a presentation a couple of weeks ago, and he had gotten the book and called me up a few days later and said, "Now, I've read the book, and I'm rereading it a second time." That's good. And he said, "My question is this. Why don't we hear these things in our churches?" And probably the reason why we don't hear them, most of the preachers don't know it. These things haven't been taught in the Bible schools of America for the last 100 years.
And they haven't been taught in our law schools for a long time, because both the seminaries and the law schools were infiltrated people who had a different world vision, who really hated the country that we had, and wanted, of course, to come up with a different type of country.
That's right. And as a result, there's a total ignorance of our whole foundation, and a part of what I did in putting this book together, I came to realize that we can oppose abortion and all these other things, and we can argue against them, and a lot of people will agree with us just on common sense. But if we're going to really get back, we got to get back to the foundations, and we got to understand where we came from. And then we have to understand the people and the methods used to bring us away from those godly foundations to where we are today. And unless we know that, we can't really understand what's happening. And there's key people with names and faces who were very open. And for example, we mentioned a little bit ago Roscow Pound, who was the dean of the Harvard Law School and probably had more impact on the training of lawyers than any other single individual. And Roscow Pound, in his little book, Law and Morals, and as you read it, there's some contradiction there, but if the law is based on the Word of God, then morals should stem from the law. But he said that, no, as we evolve in our views, we have to come to realize that we're going to have to change the law to uphold what we would believe are morals. And in that book, on page 14, Roscow Pound said this. He said, "The state has become the unchallengeable authority behind the law, replacing Jehovah handing down the law to Moses."
And, of course, that's really what it's all about. We replace the law of God with the law of the state. And the law of the state is whatever the people in power want it to be.
That's right.
And that's really what's so frightening. In fact, one of the things that you certainly brought out in your book was that we have Supreme Court justices who've sworn to uphold our Constitution who are looking to the United Nations Constitution or the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights or the European Constitution to figure out what our laws ought to be. Where can you possibly justify this in our Constitution? And did these people simply flaunt their statement, flaunt their oath when they said they would uphold the Constitution? Where is their loyalty?
Well, that of course, that's chapter 12 in the book, that the Supreme Court in recent years has used, as you indicate, rulings of the European Union and other universal rights declarations and so forth. They specifically used that when 2 years ago they overturned a precedent in upholding the right of states to make sodomy a criminal action, which had been the case until 1960. All of the state laws in the United States, every state had a law that criminalized sodomy. They've been erased. Some states have eliminated that from their laws, but the state of Georgia still had it. And some sodomites supported by the ACLU and others, brought a case up to the Supreme Court in 1988. And the Supreme Court upheld the right of the state to control this immoral behavior. And that, you know, they say when once the Supreme Court rules, that precedent has to stand. But 2 years ago, a case brought out of a totally phony case. It was a setup. Two sodomites were engaged in a practice in their home, and then they arranged for somebody to call the police and say something illegal is going on there. I think there was some charge about guns, or I forget, there was some deal. And the police come out and find these two guys involved in their act of sodomy, and they arrested them under Texas law. And it went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court, over a period of just 16 years, totally reversed what the law was. And they justified that based on the fact that all of these other countries and international opinion and this and that and something else, that has come to be an accepted practice. But you know, it's an interesting thing. They pick their authorities. If they wanted to look to all the Muslim countries of the world, if they wanted to look to the countries with a Catholic background in Central and South America, they all still have definite rules against sodomy. But the only precedents they look at are the ones that they like.
And of course, really, this is all part of an affront to our Lord and Savior. You know, there are laws that are laid down, and they're for the good of the people. And if you really hate people, you tell them, go ahead and be a sodomite, because it's going to kill you, but that's all right, go ahead. And the average sodomite dies about the age of 41, 42.
At a tremendous cost.
Right.
A tremendous cost financially, because most of those people end up on Medicaid, and I guess I've seen, I don't know, you're maybe more of an expert certainly than I am, but they're spending thousands of dollars a month.
Sure.
For the drugs to keep them alive a little longer.
Well, it's such a tragic situation, and yet we can thank our Supreme Court, and certainly the media as well, and the wicked people who really want to do everything they can to degrade our society as an affront to God, but God will not be mocked indefinitely, I'm certain.
That's exactly right, and the thing that we have to realize is, and I try to make this point in the 13th chapter of the book, when we say, what can we do to return to the godly foundations? And I start out saying that any realistic evaluation of where we are and of the influences of the schools and the universities, the news media, the entertainment business, the government bureaucracy, and too many churches, if you look at all of their influence, humanly speaking, we're not going to turn this thing around. But we don't have to look at things humanly. And in the book, we spend a little bit of time looking at the fact that God has intervened in a very dramatic way at least twice in our nation's history. Back in the 1740s, under John Wesley and George Whitefield and Jonathan Edwards and some of those people, And the corruption was terrible then, the rottenness in government and in every area. There was drunkenness in the pulpits, and some men came and started to preach. And too often they couldn't preach in the churches, they went into the streets and preached. And God intervened in our society. In fact, there was a revival at Harvard. The president of Harvard said it's impossible to know the impact that these young men who are on fire for God are going to have on our country in the future. Well, a lot of them were our founding fathers. When Wesley and Whitefield were in Boston, the record is that 22 preachers came to know Christ. And the whole country was turned around, and out of it came, of course, our war for independence, our Declaration of Independence, the foundation of our government. And periodically down through these last 200 years, there has to have had a revival come to get us back, because we all tend to go wrong.
And, of course, there was another great revival in the 1800s led by Charles Finney, wasn't there?
Well, Finney, yes, was the great evangelist of Finney's an interesting one. We talked about this in the book a little bit. He started out to be a lawyer, but in those days, most people didn't go to law school. There were only a couple of them, and you served as an apprentice. You went to work for a lawyer, and they called it reading law, and you learned the law that way. And Finney, who wanted to be a lawyer, he wasn't a Christian, he wasn't a believer, but he found as he studied judicial opinions and judgments of judges and the court rulings and so forth, they were all related to the Bible. And Finney realized that if he was going to be an effective lawyer, he'd better learn something about the Bible, and he started to study it. He became a Christian, he got saved, and gave up his ideas on the law and became the most important preacher of the first half of the 1800s. And then in 1857, again, the corruption, there were waves of immigrants coming into America who there were 2,000 a day arriving in New York that had no understanding of the basis of our society and the basis of our freedom. And there was a fellow named Jeremiah Lamphere. He worked on Wall Street, and he became concerned and decided that, well, maybe we should pray for our country. And he got the use of a church every Wednesday at noon for an hour and handed out some little hot flyers, and nobody showed up. This was in September. But he kept at it for a month. And then in October of 57, there was a total collapse of the economy and the banking system and everything. And the next Wednesday, the churches were full, and people started to pray. And within a month's time, there were 1,000 prayer meetings at lunchtime all over New York City. It spread to Philadelphia and Boston. Around out of it came the Salvation Army, the work of D.L. Moody, and I think that really. The awakening prepared Americans, gave them the strength to go through the awful thing of the war between the states and the horror of those years of so many people being killed.
Well, I think that we are entering some very, very difficult times now, and I think that what we need, of course, people who understand that there is no solution that man has. We're going to have to return to God, and that's what it's going to take. And maybe we'll take some suffering and deprivation and the loss of everything we have materially before people are willing to surrender their lives to the Savior from whom they came.
That's right, and we kind of point people at the end of the book to the fact that how's that going to happen? How's God going to intervene? Well, he has limited himself to what we let him do through us, and I suggest that the apostle, Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul after he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, the first words he spoke were, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" That should be the prayer of every one of us. And if we get serious about that, the Lord can take us and use us to turn this nation back to God again. And if he doesn't, look at where we've come. Just stop and think. If you watch TV, and I'm not so sure we should.
Well, I like to know what the enemy's doing. So
yes, but you look at the entertainment on TV and the changes in what we let come into our homes in the last 10 years. Where will we be another 5 years? Because it gets worse every year.
And I'm sure you're absolutely right, and I think that the only solution is going to be the people of this country are going to have to turn back to God. But right now, so many people have it so good, they don't think they need God. I think they're in for a great awakening.
That's exactly right. That's, by the way, we need to awaken the preachers. And that's one of the reasons why I suggest that people that get my book and read it, and then get one to their pastor, get one to their attorney, get one to a local judge.
It's a great book, John. I want to thank you for writing it, for everything you're doing, for your willingness to come on and be with us. And of course, you have three videos we carry. What are those again?
Well, there's the biblical basis for the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. There's what are the dead communists doing in the world today, and what are the schools doing today?
All right, I will mention
and
those.
You have those videos. You're offering them, I believe.
We are certainly. Hey, we're going to let you go, but God bless. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Bye-bye.
Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today.
When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, or antibacterials. Probably never, right? Hey, folks, Michael Trudeau here, and I want to tell you about my friend Marty. He's the owner and founder of the Calben Soap Company. For the past 55 years, the Calben Soap Company's been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calben Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. Calben Pure Soap is made from all natural ingredients. It's earth-friendly and it's safe. Call the Calben Soap Company today toll-free at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Visit them on the web at calbenpuresoap.com or call for information at 1-800-340-7091. That web address again is calbenpuresoap.com. Try Pure Soap once, and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
You know, when I was growing up, my parents weren't worried about our education. We were taught the basics of math and English, science and history, the joy of art and music, and the need for sports. And our generation turned out leaders in every field. But as a parent today, I am concerned with my child's education. That's why I chose VHM Christian School. I know that at VHM, my children are getting a quality education with a biblical foundation. I'm not worried whether they'll be prepared. I know they are. VHM gives my children the tools to succeed and instills moral values. There are so many issues for me to be concerned about. I'm glad my children's education is not one of them. Won't you call VHM today? Your child is worth it. Call 475-4762. That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762.
Well, this is Arthur Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and let me tell you that John Stormer's book is outstanding. I really think he's done a tremendous job, and the book is called Betrayed by the Bench. Of course, we carry his other books, None Dare Call It Treason, None Dare Call It Treason 25 years later, and None Dare Call It Education. All of those books are outstanding. We carry his three videos. What are the dead communists doing? Certainly the biblical basis of the Declaration of Independence, and the last one that he was talking about. So if you want to get the videos, you can get them independently, or you can get all three of them together at a special reduced price. But we hope that you'll get John's information. I've known John, I'm pleased to call him a friend, for about a decade now, and he is the most gracious fellow. You know, he's sold probably 10 or 11 million books, and he doesn't have any money. He's put this all into trying to save America. He's practiced as a minister all these years, never used any of this for his own use, but totally dedicated to our Lord and to the preservation of our republic. What sacrifices are you willing to make to help us reach the people with the truth about what's going on? Now, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you really need to get it. And you need to understand who it was who took over our Supreme Court. The Masons took over our Supreme Court in 1941, and from 1941 to 1971, they controlled the United States Supreme Court, a majority of 5-4 to 8-1, and it was during this time that they took God and prayer out of our schools. So you must understand Masonry, and we cover that very well in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and they, certainly the other books we carry on Masonry Beyond the Light, the books are certainly Unholy Alliance by James Wardner. All of these books are available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Why did they try to take the word Christmas out of the Christmas season and replace it with Happy Holiday and Holiday Tree? And well, very simply, there is a conspiracy against God. If they can destroy the Christian foundation of this country, then we will no longer have freedom. But in the meantime, I really am firmly convinced that God is going to bring his judgment on this country, and we need your help to get the information out as to what's going on. Please go to our website at www.radioliberty.com. We hope many of you will, as I say, will get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, will get Sean's book, Betrayed by the Bench, get his videos, get his other books, and then help us get the truth out while we still have time. Our website is www.radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And you can listen to our programs there on the Internet 5 hours a day and not get much of anything accomplished. And, of course, very soon you'll be able to, of course, right now you can get us on Telstar 5, and you can listen 9 hours a day and you really won't get anything accomplished. You can, of course, get our archive programs off the off our website. Certainly we keep the archive programs there for about 6 weeks. And then, of course, we hope you'll tell others to go to our website. You'll go there and pull down our newsletters. You'll look at all the various items we have. Remember, we do have the Berkey products, the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light. If you get them through Radio Liberty, you get a free 4-tape set or a video that we produced. And all of this goes to help expand gradually our outreach across America. So, again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Our website, radioliberty.com. If you'd like a free newsletter dealing with the oil crisis, the phony oil crisis, give us a call. We'll be glad to send you Peak Oil Part 2. Of course, if you have the Internet, you can pull it down off the Internet site. If you'd like to understand Iraq and what we should do, and, of course, the trouble is, both choices, either pulling out or staying there, are going to be a disaster. And that's what they want to do. They give you one of two impossible choices, which one you want. And, of course, being shot or being hung, and I really don't want either one of them. I want to explain how we got there and where we're going and the spiritual forces behind what's going on. And so we hope that you'll certainly pray for America, pray for revival, pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection.